It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Stephen Diebel. Stephen is president, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. First, Brian Ernest, lead economist, animal protein with CoBank.
We saw historically high per capita beef consumption last year. Part of this was imports, but you know, also the heavier live weights that we were seeing on animals overall. You know, right now that favorable feeding environment, while it's not necessarily working out very well for row crop farmers, animal protein producers really are thriving in this sort of environment where demand is kind of pulling the cart, and the availability of those lower feed costs really kind of eases us through this situation of navigating higher inflationary pressures that the consumer's seeing at the shelf. So totally optimistic for what's to come here. I'm excited for grilling season, so I'm glad it's here.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Stephen Diebel. Stephen is the president for the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, TSCRA, and a producer from Victoria. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Tony. You bet.
Well, normally we would be talking to you anyway, but we're talking to you at a little different timing here as of now, because we now, for the first time in 60 years, have New World screwworm officially in Texas. What can you tell us about that?
You know, we've worked very closely with our state and federal agencies and learned today of that confirmation case down in South Texas. So we have been working for about 18 or 20 months now to put the proper protocols and plans into place. So if and when we do get this incursion, which we now have, you know, I think we've got great plans. We've got great protocols. We'll probably, you know, hit some rough spots maybe in the planning processes, but I think there's lots of flexibility in these plans, and they're aimed to help producers combat this problem and regionalize this problem and help them understand that we have solutions to this problem.
Okay, I mentioned it's been 60 years. Now, it hasn't been 60 years since we had New World screwworm in the U.S., as we had an issue with deer in the Florida Keys that we were able to push back. But a little different trying to push it back out of the Keys and pushing it out of Texas. Have we been preparing for this, though?
You know, I think as we've seen this incursion in Mexico, obviously the movement, the cattle movement, the movements inside of our southern Mexico has obviously caused alarm. You know, there's certain movement protocols that we feel like has really exacerbated, or the lack of movement protocols has exacerbated this problem and caused it to migrate in a way that we have not seen before. And obviously that is one of the really focus areas that we want to focus on, or topics that we want to focus on with regards to putting a plan into place here domestically.
Part of that plan it's multifaceted here, but let's start with the fly dispersal, because we've been watching that for years now, especially right along the Panama border as a way of putting up a big wall there. Fly dispersal, though, is coming to the U.S. It's here. What can you tell us about that?
Well, our only fly production plant, obviously, is in Panama at the CoPeg facility. They're currently producing 100 million flies per week. Those flies have been able to come all the way up to our Texas border and really provide that buffer zone that's really bought us time, in my opinion, over the last 6 or 8 months. USDA and Animal Health Commission work hand in hand to bolster that buffer zone, enhance those polygons to really provide that protection as best we can, you know, to our domestic livestock and wildlife populations. It's not super surprising that we would have some of these outlying incursions, but I do believe, you know, the plans in place with our existing fly production from Panama are going to be satisfactory to hold off until we get additional fly production, which will come from the Matapa facility, hopefully midsummer to the fall of this year. And then we've worked really hard on the mission facility, getting support for that funding on the mission facility. And phase one is expected to be in production fall of 27, and phase two with the total of 300 million additional flies will be the fall of 28. So with those fly production numbers, you know, reaching the 500 to 700 million flies per week, that will be the necessary, you know, numbers needed to do what we want to do.
We're talking with Stephen Diebel of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest, Stephen Diebel, President, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. We're talking about New World Screwworm. And important to note that it has quite a few different hosts.
Well, the umbilicus in newborn animals, white-tailed deer, cattle, are probably the most known species that are affected. But yes, this can affect all warm-blooded animals, things like pets, you know, all the wildlife populations, even, you know, in a small degree where people can be infected, where there could be wounds that are not cared for in a proper way. So yes, it's a warm-blooded mammalian issue, but certainly what I want to emphasize, it's not a food safety issue by any means. And the public can be very satisfied with the product, you know, the procedures in place that are there to protect our domestic cattle and wildlife populations.
It's easy to think that, and it can be a terminal issue once infected with the New World Screwworm, but it's not necessarily terminal if we catch it early and we deal with it with the tools we have. Is that something you'd agree with?
Absolutely. You know, this can be a terminal issue if left untreated for several days. However, again, like I spoke of earlier, we have so many more treatment products and prevention protocols that we didn't have in the 60s and the 70s. And with that said, I think we can be much more proactive as livestock producers and as those folks that take care of their pets and all the other animals that we provide care for. You know, there are opportunities where intervention can really be helpful in this scenario.
Now, again, it's a matter that it can be in your dog or cat. So is communication here extremely important, not just within the ag industry, but within our communities as well?
Absolutely. So one of our educational aspects that we've been really trying to continue to put forth to the communities is communication is key. Communication between livestock producers, wildlife producers, wildlife managers, even the urban, you know, individual that may have that, you know, pet of some sort. It's so important to communicate quickly, and the quicker the communication, the faster we can be of assistance with regards to the sterile fly dispersal. So the quicker we report, you know, the quicker we can regionalize this problem and not let it spread any further.
And this is maybe just outside of the umbrella here, but for producers who are in other states, let's say Nebraska, Iowa, Montana, as they're looking at this, obviously they're counting on Texas and USDA to stop this. But
yes, sir.
Do producers anywhere outside of Texas need to stay up to date on this as well?
Well, I think one of our communication efforts, especially with Texas Animal Health Commission, has been for them to communicate with our state trading partners. I think Dr. Dinges and Dr. Lansford have done a wonderful job in communicating with those state partners and helping them to understand the prevention practices, the treatment protocols, the intervention that we are going to go through as producers to make sure those animals are treated, they're inspected, and they're identified prior to shipment. So, you know, so those buyers in other parts of the state and in other states can be confident that that our products are safe to ship. So we've worked really, really hard on that aspect, and certainly there'll be some issues to work through as we begin this process, but we're very confident in the protocols that we put forth and help to assist with.
Okay, I've driven the bus here, but I'm giving you the keys. Final thoughts here before we wrap up. Anything else that we haven't talked about up to this point, or maybe we've talked about it, but you just want to reassure again? Final thoughts.
Sure. Well, first off, this is not a food safety issue. Number two, I think the relationships that we've built and that we've worked upon across stakeholders, industry partners, state agencies, federal agencies, from Secretary Rawlins back through the Texas Animal Health Commission, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and all of those involved. We talk weekly, if not daily, especially here as of recent, and you know, helping folks to understand the relationships that have all been working towards the the cause of finding solutions to this problem. And we'll certainly get through this, and we've got solutions for it, and we're just all going to have to work together and be communicable and understand that communication and reporting is going to be very, very important. But we really, really appreciate the working relationships that we've built, and I think we have a really good path moving forward.
Again, we're talking with the president of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raiser, Stephen Diebel. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Could this new world screwworm now in the U.S. affect demand? Dr. Glenn Tonser, Kansas State University, says,
I remain concerned. I've been saying for quite some time, though, I've been concerned for a while and been wrong and happy to admit I've been wrong. In aggregate, beef demand in particular has outpaced that concern. So, you know, we're 2 years into this particular sentiment development. It's not new that things like GDP and the stock market and so forth are doing well at the same time that more people are saying they're doing worse. So there's a disconnect between some of these economic measures and some of these sentiment measures. But at some point, they're probably going to point to the same direction. And my concern is if and when that happens, and I hope May wasn't when it started, but if it did, it definitely is a headwind for all meat and beef demand that we're talking more about this morning.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Stay evening announcement from Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
We have confirmed the first official case of New World screwworm in Texas.
With confirmation from USDA National Animal Disease Facilities in Iowa, the secretary provided details on the NWS case confirmation.
Detection of New World screwworm in a three-week-old calf in La Pryor, Texas. It is the only case that we are tracking right now and the only one that has been confirmed.
Active response is underway per USDA's New World screwworm response playbook. Secretary Rollins added this reminder.
Screwworms do not infest meat. They do not infest fruits. They do not infest vegetables or other food sources. Our Food Safety and Inspection Service, FSIS, ensures that the nation's commercial supply of meat, poultry, and egg products are safe.
More information about NWS is available online at www.screwworm.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.
It's the Agribusiness Report.